Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Migs Show.
We are continuing to follow from afar all the devastating wildfires that are burning in LA County. Yes. And it's just been absolutely awful to watch so many people being displaced, so many structures destroyed. People have lost everything.
Now's the process of trying to figure out how do you get your life back together, from like dealing with the insurance companies to dealing with just trying to get, like, you know, where are you going to stay until like it's safe for you to even go back home, even if your house is still up because of all, like, you know, the smoke damage as well.
We're trying to get a guitarist from Sugar Cult, Marco DeSantis, on the line, and I believe he's joining us right now. Marco, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, first of all, we're just so sorry to hear that you and your family are safe, but you guys have lost everything. You lost your house in the wildfires.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just totally, like, it still feels like a surreal, like, just kind of fever dream or something, you know? We lost, not only did we lose our house, but we literally lost our entire, I mean, I could almost make peace, selflessly, I could almost make peace with, like, oh, whoops, Marco left the toaster oven right on and our house burned, but at least all our neighbors are there and we're going to rebuild it and the community will come together and then we can get back to normal. But right now, it's like literally as if you're in not just our house, but like every single house on our street is gone. It's like, it looks like a war. It looks like Gaza, you know, and almost every house, you almost feel the most sorry for the people whose houses didn't burn, because now their house is like this, is standing amidst like all of their neighbors' houses are gone. You know, it's such a weird thing. And I still don't even believe it. It's hard for me to even believe it's real, because I haven't, my wife and my daughter were there and I was actually out of town, and you know, it was a really bad windstorm, and so before I left town I was like preparing for windstorm. I was like, okay, get the patio furniture down, all that kind of stuff, make sure there's nothing, you know, make sure there's no car parked under a big tree or something like that, you know, just thinking, your mind is thinking windstorm. And then of course nowadays we also have to factor in the, you know, fire is all an inevitability, especially in Southern California. So anyway, long story short, I get the call of like, you know, oh, don't worry, the evacuations aren't for our part, it's for the other part. And then in the middle of the night it was like, okay, we're being evacuated. Then I get this buddy of mine who's a music guy too, who lives like two houses over. He's like, yeah, he's like, I evacuated and then I came, he said he came back to like try and hold his, you know, get his garden hose and do what he could. And he was like, dude, I finally just had to give up and just go. Cause he was like, it was not looking good. He was like, your neighbor's garage and fence is on fire. The tree across the street's on fire. And at that point, I just was making peace with like, okay, my house is probably going to be gone, but maybe not, you know? And then it was like, wake up the next morning and it was like, I mean, that's the part that's just the most surreal, is just like everything's gone. Like the whole neighborhood, every place you ever walked, when you went on a walk, every neighbor across the street, down the across, next door to them, next door to us, on both sides, the whole block, like the whole like square, it's almost like a square mile of just complete devastation. It's crazy. It's like we got bombed or something, you know?
Oh, awful, man. Marco, I saw pictures of you, and you have two younger kids, and I have a five-year-old, and, you know, and I think about, like, how do I talk to her about certain things when, like, you know, that are heavy? And now you've got something that's beyond heavy just in general, and then how much it impacts you and your family. How did that conversation go? I mean, like, you know, A, first, we have to evacuate. You have to explain that to them. And then B, hey, everything that was in our home is gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, that's a really hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say, like, you know, it's like anything in life. No matter when it hits you, it's going to be hard, but
yeah,
it's going to be hard in a different way. But the one thing I will say is a, you know, saving grace is, like, both of our kids are, like, you know, at the tail end of their teenage years now. And we moved into this house when they were, like, you know, one was just born, like, 2 months after we moved into this house to the day. And one was, like, only, like, one and a half, you know? And, So they basically, like, this is what they, when you close your eyes and, like, think of your mom's house or your, yep, you know, anyone out there listening, like, you think of, like, where you grew up, you can usually close your eyes and, like, visualize exactly what it looks like. I can remember exactly where I grew up in Santa Barbara. But, like, they have that, like, with this house, like, it's, like, embedded in their childhood memories of, like, this is the house they grew up in. This is the house they learned how to walk in, and where they had their birthday parties, and all of their childhood memories were formed, you know, in this neighborhood. It's like where they learned how to ride a bike, and, you know, so, I mean, if this was going to happen and had to happen, you know, at least it happened in a moment where, like, it's already sort of like a turning point, because they're, like, starting to go to college, and we're starting to, like, turn that page of, like, becoming empty nesters. And I don't know, it feels like it was gonna feel like the end of an era and a new chapter anyway, but now it feels like the end of a book, and today feels like the beginning of a new volume, you know, like you're starting the new, a totally new one. It's not even another chapter, it's just a whole other book, which is terrifying, but in a really kind of perverse way, also kind of a little bit exciting and liberating and peaceful. But now that I know there's nothing that can be done about it, you almost just have to surrender. I will say, as a musician, you know, from the band Sugar Cult, you know, all the one thing that really, like, another thing that really stings for me is that I was always, if you ask anyone I've ever been in a band with, I was in a band with Chris from the Foo Fighters when we were teenagers, called Lost Kittens. I was in a band in the early 90s called Popsico. I was in a band Sugar Cult, and I was in another band with Joey from Lagwagon called Bad Astronaut. And in every band, if you ask any of those guys, they will right away be like, yeah, Marco's the guy who, like, I'm the first guy Chris called when the Foo Fighters were doing their documentary. He's like, dude, I know you saved everything. Can I borrow some flyers and footage? And, you know, I was like the
self-historian
archivist.
Yeah.
You know, which is just a euphemism for, you know, pack rat who never throws anything away. But I literally had everything we ever did, every piece of merch, every, you know, little live recording someone sent us from somewhere, every little, like, every iteration of a guitar pick that we had, every, you know, the notes our producer would take while we were making probably the original lyrics from memory, like every single thing for every single band I was in my whole life. And that just, like, that kills me, not selfishly because I don't have that stuff now, but because I feel like I was entrusted, you know, like I said, I was a self-appointed archivist. I was the one who was taking care of that stuff, and now that stuff's gone. And even though it's something I couldn't control and it was a natural disaster, you still feel like, you know, you still feel like you let people down because you were the one they were counting on to, like, have it for the box set one day or like, you know, the museum exhibit or whatever it is. Luckily, a lot of my stuff got borrowed for the Punk Rock Museum in Las Vegas. So it's on exhibit there. So it's not like a total loss. There's still something.
Yeah.
But that kills me. Plus, just as a lifelong music fanatic, I've just I had a huge record collection of, like, really rare stuff from all over the world. You know, every time we'd be on tour, I'd just be, like, hunting and gathering rad little things. And then I always, you know, checked out bands early on, and then those, a lot of those bands would go on to become really big. So I'd have like their early, like I have the first White Stripes 7-inch ever that like Jack White's buddy gave me when he was playing a show in my hometown that I put on, you know? And I have like the first pressing of Appetite for Destruction that got banned.
Oh, with the artwork.
Like to go buy when I was a kid, you know? Like, and like Ramones records signed by all the Ramones who I like met individually. Clash record signed by Joe Strummer, like Elliott Smith record that I bought off him at a bar when he was, before he was famous, and he signed him, he like autographed it to me as a joke, like, I'm not even a star, why would you want my autograph? And I, you know, I had like things like that, and I do have photos a lot of these things because I'm kind of crazy about taking pictures of stuff, so that's my only thing I'm hanging on to, is at least I have like something that will be a memory and keep the memory from fading. And you know, but at the end of the day, for anyone out there listening, you know, it's like all those things you hear, like the more things you own, the more things on you. It's kind of true in a way. Like I feel really lost right now. Like I feel like those things were like touchstones and kind of like breadcrumbs that led me to like remind me who I was, you know? It's, you know, it's like, if you ever saw the movie High Fidelity or read the book,
yep.
You said my record collection's organized in autobiographical order, and that's how like my little like man cave was. It was just like, yeah, it was just like records. I was like, oh, that's the record I got when I, oh, that's the one I stole from backstage at that Jane's Addiction show that I snuck into, and then I got Perry to sign it. Like everything had a story, and it's really, this is really odd, and I'll let you guys get a word in edgewise. I had just done a cameo because I'm on Cameo. Someone hired me, and they're like, do whatever you want. It's just our friend. We want you to do a cameo. So I was like, I went out to my little like studio where I keep all my memorabilia, and I just did like this random show and tell for like 20 minutes. I was like, so here's this thing. I was just grabbing random things at random and like, oh, this is this thing from the time I was hanging out with the Rolling Stones. And this is this thing, you know, just like telling stories. And I said it as a joke. I was like, you know what? I should really start like a YouTube series where I do like a rock and roll show and tell and just tell the story of all this stuff. And then maybe like, I'll give something away or whatever, you know, like, and it's so weird. Like I literally said that I did that cameo. I put it off for 2 days and then I finally did it like the night before
gosh.
I left town, and the next 24 hours later, everything was gone, which is just crazy.
From here in Seattle, we've just seen incredible acts of kindness throughout your community. Everything from like the Whiskey of a Go-Go being a place that people can go for supplies, and the way that people are helping with, you know, animals and things of that nature. And you also have a GoFundMe page, Marco, where people, if they want to check it out, it's on our social media pages as well, at Daily Migs. And we hope that the money raised will at least, you know, help recover some of the things or replace some of the things that you can replace. I know a lot of the things you've been talking about are irreplaceable, but we definitely want to help you and your family rebuild.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. And you know, a friend of my wife set up the GoFundMe, and at first we were like, oh no, we're, you know, I've never like been the type of person to like ask someone for money or ask someone for help or anything like that. And like, this has been one of those things where our friends are just like, how do we help? Give us a way to help, please. And it, after a while, I realized, I'm like, anytime someone's ever had a GoFundMe or, you know, when my old friend, you know, Howie Pyro, who's no longer with us, he had a problem and needed a liver. Like everybody in rock and roll bonded together and raised him enough money to get him a liver. You know, my friend Jesse Mallon in New York,
yep.
Who, you know, unfortunately was like, had a spinal stroke and is now paralyzed from the waist down. And like the healthiest, nicest guy, like he's always helped everybody else. And he just, everybody, you know, you don't even think about it. You jump on there and you just step up. When I'm always doing that, you know, I will always help anybody who needs help. And it's so weird to be on the other end of that, because I've always, you know, I'm like, and so it's hard. Like, you have to, I sort of had to swallow my pride, you know, because I never want to be a burden. I know, oh, dude, I'm not doing a, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You know, like, I'm just that guy. But just to see the outpouring of people just like, how can I help you? Can I give you a place to stay? Can I give you, you know, can I buy you? One guy just texted me, he's like, can I buy you guys lunch tonight or dinner tonight? And I'm like, my natural inclination is to be like, no, we're good, you know? But
yeah.
But someone persuaded me. They're like, dude, just accept it. Because
people care.
People, yeah, this, I mean, and not to sound too woo-woo, but like, honestly, it's one of those things that it really restores your faith in humanity when you realize, like, when something like this, of this magnitude happens, people, you know, people who, like, you know, you haven't talked to in years, or people who you had a falling out with, they immediately, that just gets erased, and it just becomes, I love you, how can I help you? You know? And I just want, like, I want to use this as a, just, while I've got this, like, platform for a second here on the radio, like, to anyone out there listening, man, just be cool. Just, you know, nothing is worth hanging on to grudges. Nothing is worth everything I ever, like, scrimped, like, oh, I better not do that thing. I better not make that record because it's going to be too expensive. And, you know, just don't be like that. Like, you're going to be okay. You know, if like, don't live in fear. Don't, like, live your life in this, like, I better save everything just in case. Like, you just got to get rad. You just got to get out there and get all the goodies. Because you really never know. I never thought this would ever happen. And I don't know what I'm looking right now. I'm walking while I'm talking to you, looking towards the mountains towards where I lived. And it's this beautiful, sunny day. The mountains look beautiful. And I'm like, somewhere under there is, like, just a big pile of ash, which used to be, like, where we, you know, had, where I used to sit on, like, you know, play guitar on my couch, or, like, make dinner, or, like, you know, play with the kids, or just, it's just so weird. Like, everything all the things we think we have, we don't really have. We just sort of inhabit for a while or possess temporarily. The only thing you know, that really matters at the end of the day is that you create memories, that you help people, so that you create goodwill. Not transactionally, not so that you can get something in return. It's just kind of because, you know, and then it makes me happy that I, all right. It makes me happy that I, you know, kind of had this, like, life of rock and roll, because a lot of people that I grew up with that are way more talented than me, they took the, like, oh, well, yeah, that'd be nice, but I gotta be a grown up, and I gotta, you know, you tell yourself some story that makes you, like, cut off your passion, and then something like this happens. I can't imagine how much more sad I'd be right now, mm-hmm. if this happened to me and I had, like, not followed my dreams.
Well, Marco, we're up against the clock. We got to run, but, man, we really appreciate you taking some time, and I hope you and your wife and your kids are all going to be all right, and people can check out that GoFundMe on all of our social media pages, and our heart goes out to you guys.
You can see it on the Sugar Cult Facebook page, too, and I think on my Instagram, which is just my name, Marco, M-A-R-K-O, DeSantis, you know, so, yeah. And then just, I mean, regardless of the GoFundMe, just, you know, if you want to reach out, if you want to say hi, if you like the band, I would normally say when someone DMs me, write me and I'll send you a free, you know, a free Sugar Cult sticker or guitar pick or something, but I can't offer that now.
I think people would understand.
Absolutely. Rock on, Marco, and be good out there, okay?
I'll send you a singed Sugar Cult poster.
Take care, Marco. Rock on.
The Daily Migs Show.